to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. Once again, just like any other time, we have another show lined up for y'all. Today, we have a special guest. We're going to talk to Luann Hunt. She has a website, luannhunt.com. We're going to learn everything about her music career. And before we even talk a little bit about her and invite her on, let me just give you a little brief teaser. She's a country / folk and Americana singer songwriter. And not only is she going to tell us about her remarkable success as an independent artist with over 20 number one hits. Yes, over 20 number one hits on various global charts. We're going to learn everything about her style, why she chose to be an artist and songwriter, and the impact that she intends to make on listeners with her creativity. So first and foremost, Luann, thank you for your time. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your time. I gave a little small introduction because I want to give you the floor. Kind of tell us a little bit about your career in the music industry and the genre that you chose.
This year, I am celebrating 30 years in the business, which I can hardly believe. So I always wanted to be a singer when I was growing up, and I didn't get any encouragement whatsoever from my family. In fact, they discouraged me, but it was kind of in my heart that I wanted to follow some kind of path with music. So when I was in my 20s, I got married to a man in California and started exploring how I could get into music. So I started taking voice lessons, and I went to a local college and took some classes. And it was just sort of a slow process trying to figure out even if I had a voice to be able to sing with. But I had a really good teacher in college, and she encouraged me, and she told me that she thought that I had a nice voice, and if I kept working at it, that I could accomplish the goals I wanted to accomplish. So that's exactly what I did. And eventually, through teaching voice, because after a while I was trying to figure out how I could also utilize my gifts to show others how to sing, because I knew a lot of people were probably in my shoes where they wanted to, but they didn't know how. So I started to teach, and that kind of opened up a whole world of opportunities for me, because not other than, you know, learning how to sing and teaching other people how to sing, I also started looking for ways to get myself out there more, because I had all these students and they also wanted to perform. So next thing you know, I had this big teaching business and I was taking my students all over the place. And finally, we were going into the recording studio, and I had one student who wanted to record original songs, and we were looking for some stuff that was age appropriate because she was only like 10 years old. And, you know, we were like, what can a 10-year-old sing, you know? So my late husband, he came to me one day. He was on vacation and he disappeared for a few hours, and he came into the kitchen and he said, "I wrote your students some songs." And I'm like, "What?" Because, I mean, he had never written any songs before. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? But anyway, he sang them into a tape and I listened to them and they were pretty good. And I said, "Wow, these are good, you know?" And we hired a guitar player after that to come to our house and help us to put them just down on a cassette tape with music behind them so we could take it in the studio. And anyway, that just started the whole process for me, because my late husband began writing songs like crazy. Like, he wrote 100 songs in a year, you know? And so I was able to start recording my own material and just work at the craft. And from there, I got to hear somehow. It's sort of like amazing, but it was just very, very innocent in the beginning, as far as I just wanted to learn how to sing and then maybe after a while record some songs. And just, you know, mainly it was just doing it because I enjoyed it and I wanted to push the boundaries of my creativity. So little did I know I'd do what I did, you know.
And you mentioned that you did it for the love of it. You did it because you wanted to create. And with that mindset, we have to illustrate for the audience, you have some amazing lifetime achievements, just to name a few. Independent Stars Hall of Fame inductee, 2 songs on the 2009 Grammy ballot, 10 number one country hits in the UK. I mean, I'm not even touching, you know, the surface on all the other achievements that you had. But just with that small little snapshot, I mean, are you at all surprised by the amount of number of recognitions you've been able to achieve throughout your career?
Yeah, I'm surprised, especially from where I came from, because again, I was told that I had no musical talent whatsoever when I was a kid. So it was just amazing that I could even get up in front of an audience and sing. So to be here and have had the accomplishments it's almost surreal sometimes, because I really wasn't thinking that that was going to happen. But it was just sort of a brick by brick process. As I went along, I would get another goal, you know? It's like, well, if I did this, maybe I can do that. And I think there was a point where I wanted to have something to show physically for my achievements. Because, you know, if you go to college to become a doctor or lawyer or whatever, you get a degree and then you get a job and you get paid for that. But with what I was doing, there was no way to really mark the achievement. So I just thought I'd like to maybe get some awards, submit my music for different types of honors and things like that. And it was just a slow process over time. So I guess it's that brick by brick thing that they talk about. What do they say? It takes 20 years to become an overnight sensation or something.
Yeah. And with that point, these artists listening right now to this, to your interview, at what moment in your career, or roughly a rough estimate time in your career, when you notice, wow, I can actually start being recognized for my hard work? How did you learn the game, if you will, how to present yourself with your music, branding yourself in person and online to continue that opportunity to sustain your success and also being recognized by different numerous platforms?
Well, fortunately, I always gravitated toward the technology and the computer. So being here for 30 years, I was probably one of the first artists to really get in on what the internet had to offer in terms of marketing yourself. And of course, it changes so rapidly, but I was always keeping up on it. And I got played on some internet stations, and eventually I met a radio promoter online. And he's actually the one who helped me get my songs worldwide and on bigger stations and on charts and things like that. But I was just on top of it from the beginning, as far as putting myself out there using the technology. And it's, like I said, it's ever changing. There's always a new way that it's done. I remember MySpace was kind of one of the early tools that we used. And it was exciting because I was getting fans from all over the world, people reaching out to me. And one guy sent me an email and he said that one of my songs stopped him from killing himself. So it was just mind-blowing to think that here this guy, he's in the UK and he hears one of my songs and it has an impact on his life like that, you know? So I got really excited after that too about continuing on utilizing technology to somehow reach people, even if it was just one person. You know, to me it was like, wow, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling that you can do that. So, but you have to really just be paying attention to what's going on, because, you know, suddenly now we have Spotify. Well, we didn't have that before, right? And we have all these other platforms, and there's probably millions of artists trying to get on them, and people trying to figure out how I get on playlists. And you just have to keep on doing research and reaching out to people. And there's so many scams out there where people want to take your money and make you go viral, which, you know, it doesn't really happen like that. I think it just takes time to build an audience and to figure out what strategy works for you in terms of technology and promotion.
We're talking to Luann Hunt. You can go to her website, luannhunt.com, talking about everything about her music career. Let's talk about the type of music for you. At what point before you became a professional did you say, you know what, I want to do this type of music and I want to write this type of way? At what point in your early part of your career did you decide to make that move?
I was in college taking these voice classes, and this was back in the early 80s, and we had this textbook, and it had songs in it, and a lot of times the teacher would let us sing the songs of our choice, but one day she said that we had to sing a song in front of the class out of the textbook, and they were from Scotland, Ireland, all these folk songs. And I picked this one called The Gypsy Rover, and I really liked the melody of it. And I took it to the piano player who was helping us in the class get our performances together, and I was learning it, and man, I just got real comfortable with it. And I just was singing it like there was no tomorrow. And I remember he just stopped playing and he whipped his head around and he says, man, he says, I've never heard you sound so good. So then I went in front of the class and I literally got a standing ovation when I was done singing it. And after the class was over, we were going outside and I had so many people come up to me and said, that is your lane, man. You need to sing folk music. And it was really awesome because I loved folk music anyway. And I grew up listening to folk music, not that kind, but, you know, like Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and all. But I love the liltiness of the music and the beauty of it and everything and the simplicity. So right then and there, and again, that was back in the early 80s, I knew that I was going to go the folk direction with whatever I did. Not that I wouldn't sing anything else, but folk was like, it had my heart, you know.
And I remember earlier in the interview, you mentioned about not having complete support from people early on. Has that changed as your career started to grow?
Well, it didn't. It never changed with my family, to be quite honest with you. They pretty much ignore me when it comes to that. A few years ago, my hometown paper back in Pennsylvania, they did a front page article on me. And I was in my picture was like on every news rack, you know, in the whole area. I mean, it was a big deal. And I had a lot of people reach out to me, known from Conshohocken, and that's where I grew up, say, well, I saw you in the paper, you know. And I said to my mom, she should go get a paper. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, she was very like nonchalant about it. So I asked her a week later, did she get a paper? And she says, oh, I didn't have time, you know, to get a paper. And it was like, you know, my sister never said anything. Nobody said anything in my family. So I'm fortunate now because my new love is so supportive. In fact, it's kind of like odd because I've never had somebody this supportive. I mean, even my late husband, he wrote songs for me, but I never really felt like he was championing me or anything. But Jim is different. He's my biggest fan. And everywhere we go, he tells everybody. And I sit there and I'm kind of like wanting to crawl under the table or something, you know, because I'm like, I don't want the attention like this. But he's telling everybody. So I'm really grateful that he's so supportive, because that's the way it should be. And I really shouldn't have had to go without support from those I was closest to, but that's the way it went down. So it's like now all of a sudden the universe has blessed me like tenfold with Jim, you know.
And not having that kind of support still, I mean, for you to continue though, it's a great insight to see, because not everyone is willing to commit to something that they believe in that no one else does. And if someone's listening to this right now, they feel like, man, maybe it's, you know, just their own unique story, whatever, you know, topic, career, whatever. Just generally speaking, what would you say to someone who could be listening to this right now and they're like, wow, yeah, I don't get any support from anybody. It's almost like I'm the only one that wakes up and actually believes that I can get this done.
It's just about following your authentic path. I mean, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter if you get support, because what matters is that what you're doing brings you joy. You feel connected through the process of it, or it helps you with your healing process or whatever it is. But you have to do it because you love it, and you can't expect to be validated and think that that's going to make you keep doing it, because that's not. I said earlier that in the beginning, especially, it was just, I want to do this because I love doing it. And that's the way I am. If people listen, they listen, you know, but it's not going to make me not do it. And people may compliment me or not compliment me or ignore me, like my family. And it's, I mean, so what? You know, I mean, just do it anyway. I guess that's kind of the slogan, do it anyway, because it's your path. If you know that that's the way you're supposed to go. I mean, because, you know, my mom told me one time that she wanted to get into journalism when she was young. She saw an ad in the paper, finally, where the local newspaper was wanting to hire some writers. And she just wanted to get into that business. And anyway, somehow my grandmother talked her out of it and told her that, well, you don't want to do that. It's too dangerous. You don't want to be out there going on story leads and finding out, you know, that there's some person there that wants to stalk you. I mean, she was just telling her all this crazy stuff, you know. And so my mom just didn't follow this, and she didn't go get the job or anything. And she regretted it her whole life.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't going to be that person who was going to regret it because somebody else wanted to decide for me what I was capable of, or, you know. So, yeah. And in a way, I think maybe my mother's bitterness about that, maybe she couldn't really bear to see me go after my dream, because she knew that she didn't go after hers.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. When you think about that, I mean, commend you for going for your dream, because number one, it's never easy. Number two, there's always misunderstanding with outsiders looking in. They feel like they have all the answers for your life, but you're the one that is making that direction and choices to live your own authentic life. With that said, what makes you satisfied when you look back in your career and reflecting on what you've been able to accomplish?
Hands down, it is the experiences that I've had. I have been in the studio with musicians that have played with big stars and been all over the world touring. And I mean, some of the best musicians I could have ever, ever dreamed of, you know. And I just remember all those experiences doing that. And also just even the smaller experiences of writing a song and taking into the studio and building it from nothing and all the magic that would happen around this. I mean, every song that I recorded, I could listen to them and just remember something cool that happened or something really special that was going on. And that's the payoff right there, the memories and the experiences. There's nothing else that could trump that.
Listen to AgriFocus Radio, talking to our guest, Luann Hunt. You can go to her website. It's real easy. It's luannhunt.com. Talking about her music career. Let's touch on this, because I like what you said earlier about one brick at a time as you are building your career, living your life. You know, you are not rushing, trying to hurry up and go viral on Spotify or whatever platform you're having your music on. I think that's important for artists to embrace more, because we live in a culture where, if you will, the gatekeepers, if you will, who are presenting marketing opportunities, they promise you the world, right? They promise you, oh, you go viral in 24 hours, 30 days, whatever, whatever. How was it for you to separate that whole idea of being just, you know, artist that goes viral versus just being consistent with your tone and your voice as far as how you want to convey your music to the world?
I have this thing, it's sort of the way I'm wired, but I'm always striving for excellence. And I wanted to make incredible music from the get-go. And I knew that I wasn't going to make incredible music overnight. It was going to be a process. But that process was exciting for me. And I can look back on all the projects that I did and see the growth. And my longtime producer, Eric Uglum, he told me early on in our journey together that when you sing with perfect pitch, it moves people. He said, you don't even have to emote, because people will just be moved because it's perfection. And I said, you know what? Then I'm going to learn how to sing in perfect pitch. I'm going to beat that little pitch meter on the recording software, you know. And I started working on my pitch. And I focused on that, you know, and I still worked on my tone and my timing and things like that. But the pitch thing was like a big deal to me. And so I went to Nashville a few years ago to record an album. And when it got time to lay down the vocals, and this was a big recording studio that all these country stars had recorded there. So, I mean, I was in the presence of royalty here in the studio. So I'm getting ready to lay down my vocal, and I start singing on this one song, and I did about one or two takes of it. And in the middle of one of the takes, the guy that was engineering, he just stopped recording and he says, I just have to say this. he said, you know, we have had, you know, the upper echelon of country music stars in this studio for decades. And he says, I have never heard anyone sing in such perfect pitch as you. And I was practically ready to cry, you know. And to me, that was such a reward for all the hard work that I spent. And I'm thinking, what do you know? And it's here in the heart of Nashville where all these stars, you know, have sung, and he's singling me out like this. And it was like, I don't even need, you know, a CMA award or nothing. That was enough, right? Because I knew that my work paid off. Somebody in the big arenas noticed it. And I had risen somehow, you know, above the ordinary or the mediocre in this particular area, because maybe I can't do all these gyrations with my voice, and I don't have this bluesy voice, and it's not impressive runs or nothing like that. But this guy's telling me, you know, he's never heard perfect pitch like this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did it. You know, I did it.
When you keep moments like that, Are there other moments throughout your career that you kind of put in your pocket and, you know, say, man, that was special? And if so, has that helped you to continue the work that you're doing as far as how you represent yourself as an artist and how you write your songs?
I met a man early on my journey. His name is Lawton Giles, and he used to write songs for Patsy Cline. He didn't write any of her big hits, but he did write, I think he wrote 6 or 7 songs that she had, and he was good friends with her. And anyway, he was out in California, and I met him because he had an ad in the phone book, the Yellow Pages, remember those? And it said publishing company, you know, so I went up to his office to see if he had any songs that I could sing. And that's how I met him. And he told me about Patsy. Well, he was always nice to me and we became friends, but he was never very encouraging about my singing. In fact, I always got the feeling he didn't like my singing. And I didn't know why, but he seemed like he liked the girls that had the big, robust voices, you know? And I just sort of, I was used to not getting support in my singing, right? And people thinking I wasn't much. So it's like, well, he's just another one, right? So in 2007, I was going to do this national release album with my new producer. And I called him and I said, hey, I want to do one of your songs on this album. And he said, well, I have one that I just wrote. It's called I Want to Stand Where Jesus Stood. And he said, I'll send it to you. I just did a little demo. He goes, if you like it, you know, you can have it. So he sent it to me and I was like, yeah, the song's pretty cool. The demo was really boring. So I took it over to the studio and I said to my producer, I'm like, you know what? I said, I don't know why, but I'm hearing like this bluegrass thing going on with this song. And I said, can you mimic a bluegrass, like a banjo on your guitar? And he's like, yeah, sure. So it sounded really good. And long story short, I mean, the song was like phenomenal. It was so good. It blew me away the first time I heard it, because it's like that song is that demo. I mean, you couldn't even tell them they were the same song almost. So I finished it up and I called Lawton. And I went down to a studio and I said, hey, I want to play for you your song. And his wife was there and we were sitting in his office and I gave him the CD and he pops it in. And about a third of the way through, he's got tears rolling down his cheek, you know. And the song was over and he didn't say a word and he pushed play again and he listened to it again and then he listened to it a third time and I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, what's going on, you know? And by the third time, I thought the guy was going to jump out of his skin, you know, listening to it. And he said, I can't even believe it. This is so great. Oh my God, you know, and he's just going crazy and his wife is like, yeah, man, this is so great. She said, you know, she said, we have to be honest with you. We didn't think you were much of a singer. She said, this is amazing, you know, and they were just completely convinced now that I was the real deal. And from that point on, I had their utmost respect. And in fact, Lawton gave me the song, Christmas song, that next year that was Patsy had asked him to record and she didn't get to record it. And that's another story. But he gave it to me. And I don't think he would have ever given it to me had the other song not impacted him the way that it did. But the Christmas song turns out to be like the song I'm known for most. I mean, it's done incredible things all around the world since it's been released. So yeah, that was kind of the defining moment of my career because I made a believer out of him. And I think out of all the people that I met in music, I respected him the most. So, yeah.
Once again, talking to Luann Hunt here on Refocus Radio. And I mean, I didn't get to play it, but I was going through the website and I saw that you got recognized by Ice-T. I saw that little video on the homepage. he give you a nice plug for your album Back Rows, Bottles and Blues.
Yes.
That's huge. I had to put that in there because people who know Ice-T, I mean, wow, that's a very impressive acknowledgement of your music from him.
It was exciting.
What would you say to artists out there who are still in the beginning of their career? What is a good foundation that they can lay for themselves, just generally speaking, because everyone's artistry is different. But when it comes to understanding the music business and understanding how to best market yourself as an artist, what are some foundational steps that they can take so that they can potentially have a chance to have a successful career?
Well, for one, I think it's important to understand that first and foremost, you should be doing it because you love to do it, because it picked you. You didn't pick it, you know, because that's huge. And if you're doing it for those reasons, then you're going to care more about the quality of what you do than the fame and the money and the streams and everything. If you really work on the quality of the music, I believe it will find its way. You know, the tools are the tools, and they're always going to be changing as we go. And we can always figure out a way to use the tools. But the point is, are people really going to resonate with you, what you're doing? Are they going to stick with you? And are you really making an impact with your art? Because I hear so much art today that just sounds like other people's songs. And it's like, why can't people find their own unique voice? Because I think your uniqueness is going to be what ultimately sets you apart and keeps the fan base going, right? I mean, we don't need another Adele. We've already got one. And back in the day when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, the labels purposely would sign artists that were different from each other. They didn't want copycats.
Yeah.
They wanted everybody to bring their own uniqueness to the table. And that's what stood the test of time. I mean, it's not that hard to copy somebody, but it takes a little bit more effort and patience to develop your own sound. And believe me, there's just magic in that. I mean, they always say, do what you love and the success will follow. And that's so true. And I mean, I followed that formula and I had to go a long way down the road to start seeing any kind of success, but I kept on doing it. I was tenacious and I didn't give up. But one thing I never did, I didn't compromise what I was doing. And I didn't sit there one day and think, you know, I think I'll just try to copy Reba McEntire's sound so people will like what I do. You know, I never did that. Hmm. Never. It was like, no, I'm going to bring my uniqueness out there. And people, if they like it, great. If not, I'm doing what my heart is telling me to do. So, and I would say that to every person starting out, to follow your heart with this. And, you know, if your music's starting to sound like everybody else's, I think you just need to question it, because it's like, it's going to get lost in the shuffle. There's no doubt about it.
Once again, go to our website, luannhunt.com. First and foremost, do you have any recent projects that you've been working on, or you have anything that you can share with our audience as far as how they can stay updated on your most recent tracks?
Well, I have a new album that I released a couple months ago. It's called Miles and Memories. And so that is on Spotify and iTunes and everywhere. And it's also on my website. And if you type my name in any search engine, you'll get a lot of links coming up to videos and music. And I've released 24 albums, so there's a lot of music out there.
Well, once again, true honor talking to our guest today, Luann Hunt. Make sure you go support her music, go visit her website, check her out at luannhunt.com. Like always, Luann, want to say thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Are you a business professional looking to share your latest news with a wider audience? Look no further than I Am Refocused Radio. We invite you to submit your press release to be featured on our blog section. With over 2,000 daily visitors, your news will reach a diverse and engaged audience. Best of all, this service is completely free. Simply email your press release to admin@iamrefocusradio.com. For guest inquiries or more information, reach out to admin@iamrefocusradio.com. Let's amplify your voice together with I Am Refocused Radio. Submit your press release today.